You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
Too much, bro.
I think he's saying rest in peace over there.
Rest in peace. I had to do it, D. I know that's your favorite wrestler. I had to bring you up.
I can't believe you used that against me, bro. I thought that was sacred. I thought that was our thing. And you bring this full circle. I am busting at the damn seams right now. I've been doing interview after interview after interview.
What are you upset about? I don't know what's going on. What happened? What are you talking about? Time, you have any idea? I'm lost.
Yeah, so let me go ahead and catch up. All the people that are listening right now, you probably already know. But the fellas were eliminated last night on The Amazing Race after a nice little run. Came down to the final four, and then they just got screwed. Boy, they got screwed real bad. This might be worse than the Montreal Screwjob back in the day with Bret Hart.
It's funny. I saw somebody mention that on Twitter, and it was hilarious.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
it was funny. So we want to get y'all's inside insight on what happened. What happened to y'all? What were y'all thinking?
Well,
what were y'all feeling?
I'm letting you know right now. I am not holding the hell back. I'm not. I'm giving you everything I got, Gary. So I don't give a damn if I embarrass you or not. This is our podcast. And we get to go ahead, Gary. What did you ask him, Tom? I'm so upset right now.
I just want to know how y'all felt, how y'all feeling today. How was it feeling watching it back? Because I got questions watching it that I want to ask y'all. And then, but just to start off with, just tell us like y'all's general feeling today after watching your elimination, after living it.
Okay. So I will start off with something that not anybody knows unless you've heard it on our exit interviews or whatnot, but this is something that we had mentioned on those, but we're going to go into detail on it. So after the first leg, we actually had an alliance with the Beard Bros. After the first leg, we had talked to them and they said that we came into agreement with both of us would get to the final three. That was our goal, was to make sure us two get to the final three. We came in agreement. So as athletes, me and D, we took their word as their bond. So as we going through the thing, they helped us in Brazil. They told us about the fronds. One thing they cut out of the last episode that they didn't see was there was two times. Once the Beer Bros asked us with the horse stuff where something was, and they would tell us. We told them where something was. They told us where the other thing was. And then the other one was when we got to the lions, which were dragons. I don't know why they were called lions. But the dragons, we saw the Beer Bros, and they asked us where to go, and we pointed them where to go. So in our eyes, we were thinking our alliance was strong with the Beard Bros. So for us, all of that was going into it. And then we get to the final leg, or the final challenge, and D mentions, hey, guys, you want to work together? Both Will and James and Hung and Chi said, no, we're good. But what they didn't show was the Beer Bros actually came up to us, and they said, hey, we'll give you the answer if we get it, and if y'all get the answer, y'all give it to us. And we said, perfect, we're good. So right now, we're 100% thinking our alliance we've had since leg two, before the Mind Five, before any other alliances, was strong and going good. So I think seeing how all of it played out, we did not know we were going to be backstabbed until literally they were in front of us and they got it right, and we were right behind them, and they ran away from us to go tell the other teams. That's when we realized in that moment we were getting backstabbed by an alliance of three. So it was very frustrating that time. Even reliving it was frustrating because we knew at that point, I don't hold any ill will. It's whatever. We know it was a race for $1 million. I think the biggest thing for me and D was we had their word, they had ours. We stuck to our side with helping them when we could. And the fact that they were willing to go against their word, that was probably the worst thing for us. So I think that was something that a lot of people, nobody actually knew because it was not talked about on the race. It wasn't showed on the race, but all that actually happened.
And this is what drives me to hell crazy. It drives me insane. it doesn't matter what sport you play. Across sports, your word is all you have. So going into this, when Gary was talking me off these ledges and me thinking and paranoid that, you know, teams were out to get me or us, for that matter, Gary was like, nah, man, you just paranoid. Stop tripping. And I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, they're doing a whole bunch of whispering. You can't feel this at the airport, man. It's weird, but I mean, you still get that vibe because, again, we're still people. But then for them to stab us in the back the way that they did was insane. I'm still pissed to this day, and I'm going to continue being pissed until we address it. I don't know when I'll have the opportunity to address it, but at this point in time, I'm all about fuck the beer bros. I'm not, there's nothing there to even talk about, really, because Gary, and I can't say this enough, I respect the hell out of you, Gary, and I've told you this time and time again, your word, when I give you my word, that's how much I respect you. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. And I remember you, this conversation, just vaguely us in the hotel room, and you saying, hey, man, you know, we're going to make it to the finals. We're going to make it to the finals. You know, I feel it because, you know, the beer bros thing. And I was like, nah, man, it's been a lot of conversation. It's been a lot of this. It's been a lot of that. And you was like, nah, man, you just paranoid. I was like, you know what, Gary? You know, you see things that I don't see. I'm just like, okay, cool. We'll go with it, you know, since I agree with what it is you're saying. And then to find out later that I was right, man. Boom, this happens. But you know, you live and you learn. I can't stress this enough, man. It hurt. It still hurt to this day, man.
Yeah, I mean, just me watching it. I have to tell you, you know, Cynthia was watching it with me all season, and like she was livid at the other teams, and like she's liked everybody all season, but she was just like, I had to talk her off the ledge. It was like she was the one that was being double-crossed. She was like, it is just not nice how they are treating them. Because, you know, of course, they edit it and make it look extra spicy, like everybody's just dogging y'all so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, talked about it. It's just like...
Here's the thing, though, Tom, and I don't mean to cut you off. Everybody's talking about... My wife brought this up, and we've been talking about this with Gary in group chat. Everybody talking about like, oh, it's the editing. Damn it, you said it. Doesn't matter how the editing goes, you said it. But then, you know, after I said that, toward the end of the race, I saw where, regardless of how you said it, the editing does make a difference. And we'll clear all that up later after we get to those questions. And so, you know, it's really weird because, you know, getting to the airport and seeing it actually happen to take place on camera, when I always tell you, like, dude, something feels off. Like, knowing now, I guess I could say that the only thing that I learned the Amazing Race about myself that I didn't know is I need to trust what I think is going on around me and not waver from that.
Right. Yeah, because you could tell that you had a very much of an instinct, because even as you'd make a comment to Gary, like, Gary, there's a lot of whispering going on over there. There's a lot of
which there was. And the thing is, like,
again, and Gary didn't care.
Well, again, we were thinking that our word was true, because so they edited it in there. They had an edit that I talked about. We kept our word, some other ones didn't. That was direct relation to the beer bros because of what we knew from since leg two. We knew before the Mind 5 was even created, we had an agreement with them. Now, whether they had agreements with other people, we don't know. We just knew that going in. So that was our only worry. We helped them. They've helped us. And that was the thing. We still thought it was strong at the time because we both helped each other once during that exact leg. And we helped them another time during the leg. And they were the only team that came up to us and talked to us about working together during the leg. So I think that was probably the biggest thing. They didn't, obviously they're not going to show it because they got to keep that drama, but that is all what happened, which led to certain things being said. There was also a bunch of other things that led to certain comments from D'Angelo, which I'm sure we'll get to later. But yeah, so that there was a lot of stuff people did not see about a super secret alliance we had from the get-go that we got backstabbed, I guess, or turned on against later that we did not expect to happen.
And what's crazy is we had 1 and 3. We just didn't have 2 and 4. Well, we had 2. We was 3, but we had no idea in 4. So had any one of those teams decided to say, hey, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to see what D'Angelo and Gary got going on. We would have got it because it wasn't going back reading a clue in terms of where we came from. We knew that. It was just the fact that we couldn't get that fourth suitcase for nothing because of France.
Correct.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. You know, it looked like that you guys were just guessing. Did you guys ever know that y'all had gotten three right twice? No. It looks like, what was it, twice y'all had three right?
So they don't actually tell you if you got any right. So you don't have no idea. Yeah. They just tell you if you're wrong or right. That's all they tell you. So we knew for sure two of them.
Yeah.
Two of them, we weren't – one, another one, we had an idea. We were close, but we weren't 100% positive. And then we had no idea about the fourth one. And the reason we had no idea was because it was France. Well, France, at the roadblock, I was there for literally 5 minutes at the most. So I was in and out. So I had no – I didn't hear music. I heard nothing. D didn't do it. So it was all on me. That falls on me, which I'll take. But I was there so quick, I didn't hear any music. So I even told D when he picked up, like, it's not France, D. I didn't hear any music. There was no music. So I guess I probably should have took 8 tries to get it in France. I might have heard the music. I got it on my first try. I was in and out. So I think that hurt us. That definitely hurt us, obviously. But I think that aspect is why we never got it. It's also why we never tried it again. So everybody, I saw a bunch of stuff where people were saying, well, why didn't they keep going? Well, once those three teams got it, we decided to take the penalty because we had no idea what we were doing wrong. We knew two of them. We had an idea in the third. But I was wholeheartedly against France because I never heard music. So we wouldn't even got it, and we knew the pit stop was next. So there was no point for us. We'd already been there for 3.5 hours with the other teams. There was no point for us to keep going and waste another hour and a half to try and get it. We'll just take the penalty. It's 2 hours, and then we'll go to the pit stop, and we're going home anyway. So it wouldn't have really mattered. So I think that was the biggest reason why we decided not to continue because we didn't know what we were doing wrong. And I'll put a lot of that on me because – I did the roadblock too quick, I guess, and it hurt us in the long run.
So I want to make sure I make sure I let everybody know this. And everybody has talked about, not everybody, just people just in general. They talked about our football background, us playing football, us being professional athletes, and all that stuff. Well, I want to tell you something about professional athletes. The most disrespectful thing that you could do to athletes in this day and time is to celebrate them losing. And they did that in this last episode, and it pissed me off. Watching those three teams at the end of the at the end of that race, them celebrate before, while we're still struggling, and somebody, they've leaned on this alliance the entire time, and they celebrate after, we're going to the finals. Yay. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, after watching this, like, I understand alliances. I understand that, but this is a little bit overboard when it comes to being in an alliance. Like, it seems like they were more so friends than anything. However, I digress. I was so pissed off watching them celebrate that it just brought it all back to me. Yes, I am salty. I'm 100% salty, but I'm gonna let y'all go. Go ahead.
Cynthia said it looked like they were treating you guys like the redheaded stepchild that had been part of the family, but not really part of the family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So what I want to ask you about was your little comments at the end about, oh, I could have paid for this experience if I wanted to. I know you've been getting some flack for that online because it's like people with the humble brag out here, whatever you want to call it. What was your take on when you made those comments? What was going through your head?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you exactly what was going through my head. So when Gary asked me to do this race when we was in South Africa and we were on a safari, he kind of asked me that in general.
Can we stop real quick? Did you see all the little humble brags you just dropped in there? We were in South Africa about to go on a safari.
Well, no.
That's legit where we were.
That's legit where we were. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So I also want to show fans that I'm not new to this traveling stuff as well, though. So we're in South Africa getting ready to go on a safari, and he asked me this question. I'm like, yeah, I'd do something like that, not thinking that we were going to be on the Amazing Race. So in the process of him telling me, like, yo, we get to see these countries, we get to do challenges and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that's dope. I'm in. I'll do it, not knowing that we was going to actually do it. So, you know, fast forward, we're on this race, and I'm like, Gary, bro, I can't wait, you know, because we're going to Trinidad and Tobago. I've never been there before. This is going to be dope. We're going to do our challenges. We're going to get that out of the way. And then we're going to get an opportunity to see the city. Yeah. So, you know, we go to Trinidad and Tobago and, you know, I danced a little bit and then we rushed off to the airport. We slept in a cold ass airport that night, which was stupid. We didn't get much sleep. That's when they accused me of snoring. It wasn't me. It was Pops. But anyway, we don't want to talk about that. So we leave from there. We go to the next country and there's not much sleep. And, you know, we're at the Eiffel Tower, not at the Eiffel Tower. I'm sorry. We're in France. We're in Paris, France. And I'm at my room. And the closest I get to the Eiffel Tower is sending through my hotel room. Like, did you really see the Eiffel Tower? When you come home, Tom, Gary, and people ask you, like, hey, have you ever been to the Eiffel Tower? Yes and no. Have you ever been to Angkor Wat? Yes, but no. Like, I saw it, but I didn't see it. Like, it was just, it was stuff like that where it was
okay. Race. Hold on. Let me interrupt you. I'm going to clarify his comments. So I'm going to steal a little skit from Key and Peele. I'm going to be the White Luther. So I'm going to explain what D'Angelo meant by his comments. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
D'Angelo's comments were taken out of context because nobody else was on the race with us. There was so much, like he was saying, when we went to Paris, he could see the Eiffel Tower in his room. Well, he wasn't allowed to. We drove by Angkor Wat, passed it all the way to this other end where the pit stop is. We didn't get to experience Angkor Wat. Every time me and D have traveled, he gets to experience things. He gets to enjoy things. He gets to go out and do it. So when he said he hated the race, he did not hate the aspect of from the time we started the race to the pit stop. He loved it. Everything about that was awesome. The part he hated was being confined to a room, not being able to experience these beautiful things in the world. And I think that's what pushed him over the top, because he would talk to me all the time about every leg. He's like, oh, why are we not get to see this? Why don't we get to do that? I'm like, it's a lot of that fell on me because preparing for the race, I binge watched 10 seasons and he really didn't watch anything to prepare. So I told him, I was like, hey, in some of the seasons, the teams got to walk around and see certain things. So he went into that thinking, oh, I'm going to get to see and experience some of this. But when he got locked in a room for 30 hours or 28 hours with me the whole time, and he can't go experiencing things, that boils over time. And that's really what pushed him over the edge, because we were literally in Angkor Wat, one of the most famous places, and we didn't even get the experience. We saw monkeys, elephants, all this stuff, and we drove by it waving and then literally got to go to a hotel. So I think that's where his anger and frustration came from, is because he got to see all these beautiful countries and everything, but didn't get to truly experience it. He loved the race aspect because he got to do things nobody else would get to do, but that's what those comments meant. And there was more to it, but they were edited out, but that's part of it. That's the part of the thing. We know how the edit works. But just to clarify his statements, it's more about not being able to truly experience the countries. Because when you're racing, you're not really experiencing. You're just trying to get through the race, get to the next leg, and not be eliminated. So you're enjoying it, but you're not experiencing the country.
Yeah.
It's kind of like y'all went to Disney World and looked at all the sights, but didn't even like get to ride the ride.
We went to Orlando and drove by Disney, didn't even get to see it.
Right,
that's exactly what it was. So, did you go to Disney World?
No. it's just like when we travel. If I was flying to Kazakhstan, like we did or whatever. If we had a layover in Amsterdam, I do not count Amsterdam as me visiting because I was in the airport. I had to go experience something.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's a big difference to it.
So my hatred for everything else overshadowed my awesomeness of the race, and that's why I had a horrible time, because it was too much. Like, you'll race, you'll do interviews, you'll eat, and then you're confined to your room. You cannot come out of your room until it's time to go, or you hit that certain number on your clock to where you come out and it's your time to leave, and then you go on to the next city. It was awful, bro. It was so awful.
And then obviously
work out or anything.
And obviously all that on top of, we had the alliance with the Beer Bros, us getting stabbed in the back basically, and the alliance, we see them whispering and talking. We see them all go help each other and then move on. Knowing that, all on top of the other stuff, it just boiled over for him. So it just all came to a head. And Dee, do you want to tell the funny story?
So
I have one question before we move on to that story. How in the world? It seemed like y'all didn't know any of the songs. at least in the, that's what it seemed like in the edit or on the thing. My question is, how in the world did y'all not know the steel drum song as long as y'all spent
that on was the one that we knew. We knew that one.
We knew that one, and we knew the circus one.
Yeah, that was Trinidad and Tobago and Bogota, because that was the circus one.
Right, so it may seem like y'all didn't have any clue about any of them in the whenever we were watching. At least, I mean, I saw that y'all got a few right, but it looked like y'all were just taking cases up there and guessing, and that you know. But okay, so you did know. Okay, I was about to say, because as long as you spent there, you better damn well know.
Yeah, we knew two for sure. We thought we knew a third one, but we weren't positive, and then we had no idea about the fourth.
Got you. Okay, so go ahead and tell that story about at the mat.
Yeah, so Gary knows I'm pissed off. I'm hot. You know, we've been out here all day. You know, it's been up and down. Obviously, I know we've been eliminated. So in my mind, I'm pissed off more so of how things are being ran, right? So before we get to the mat, Gary goes, "Hey, D, don't embarrass me, bro." I was like, man, whatever. All right, I got you. So we get to the mat. I obviously say what I say. And I'm pissed off at Gary. We're not talking. He's not talking to me. Got my head down. I'm over there in my thoughts. And Gary go, "D." And I'm like, "What? You embarrassed me." I thought that's the funniest. I think that's the funniest thing he's ever said. Because Gary, if you know Gary, Gary is calculated, but he's not this calculated. So for him to be and me be that, he was only mad at me because I was mad at him. So the fact that he said what he said, I tell him this all the time. That's probably the greatest joke he's ever told, because all Gary jokes suck. All of them.
So I told him, I said, if I need to get my roast of D'Angelo out, we can do that, because we can find out and let the world know if it was bad or not.
Yeah, those jokes wasn't, but on a daily basis, your jokes suck. But that was actually pretty cool. So fast forward. So we go from there, and then after we get there, we go back. So they fly us in to we don't ever make it to sequester.
Nope. We went straight to New Orleans.
We went straight to New Orleans, and then we'll see what happens there. But again, I wanna let you guys know this. I understand that a lot of people was like, "Hey, I can't believe he didn't have a good time. This is an amazing opportunity for anybody, anywhere." But what people don't understand is you cannot think about the person's background in terms of where they come from and what they've experienced. You can't put their experiences off. Again, we were in South Africa when we were talking about it on the safari. You know, we've had a snowball fight on the Great Wall of China. We've sat on the pyramids in Egypt. So we travel and do stuff all the time. So having to travel on a schedule and not be able to see what it is you're going to see sucks. And I will say it 100% of the time. I stand by what I said, and I still feel that way today. I'll never forget that feeling of sitting in that hotel room, looking at the Eiffel Tower, wondering, man, I wonder how cool it'll be to go to the Eiffel Tower while I'm here. Or running around in Berlin, the Great Wall, the Berlin Wall, and never seeing it. Like I'm running around looking for a box, and people are like, "Oh, that was cool. We just saw the Berlin Wall." And I understand why. I don't understand why people can say, "Hey, it's a lifetime. It's a greatest chance. I mean, this is the greatest opportunity of a lifetime." You know why I can't understand why y'all believe that? Because y'all can't believe I didn't have a good time. So I'm just going to play my role and not believe that you can go and have a good time.
D, I will say the Eiffel Tower is pretty cool. Going up to the top.
That's too soon, Gary. Why do you have to be a dick, bro? Why do you have to be a dick? Why do you have to? I'm done, sure. Bro. I'm done. We can end right there. I'm still pissed off and salty because I'm having a hard time separating my 2-year friendship with my new friends and then watching myself on TV where they make me look fucking stupid.
I bet that's tough. If you could have any two of them in front of you right now to talk, who would it be? Who do you think?
Riley and Madison. And I doubt they come onto this podcast, but if in the event that they do, I don't know. I don't book talent.
You apparently. Know what, D'Angelo? I had a feeling that's who you would say. So I had Gary reach out to them for me. And they are coming on the podcast this week. We will release it on Monday. They will be on. So you can air out all your grievances.
You finally get your two years of waiting.
Yo, this right here, I love y'all. Y'all gave me an early Christmas present. I have so many questions. Okay. All right. I'm ready. I'm gonna be ready. Y'all don't lie to me. Both of them are coming on.
Oh,
yeah. And it's too close to Christmas to pull the April. Don't worry about that, D.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going back to my Amazing Race days. I'm kicking names and taking ass.
All right. Well, that's a good place to end it. We'll talk to y'all later. We'll be back on Monday. You will not want to miss this episode.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.